From Washington governor to commerce secretary to U.S. ambassador to China.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. President Obama today is expected to nominate Gary Locke to the post of U.S. ambassador to China. He's been commerce secretary since Mr. Obama took office, and Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live this morning with the latest on that. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning.
Why Locke? Why do you get the job?
Well, Locke is one of the highest-ranking Chinese Americans in the administration, but he's also the ex-governor of Washington State, which is said to be the most trade-dependent state. Boeing's manufacturing base is there, also Microsoft, Apple farmers, of course, and other exporters. So Locke made a number of trips to China for trade relations with Washington. Now he's representing a different Washington, but trade relations is still the tune he's singing.
All right, tune he's singing. So what notes will he be dealing with over the next few years?
Basically, Locke's message to China as ambassador is the same thing he said as governor, which is buy more of our stuff. And you don't have to take my word for it. I called Professor Patrick Chovanec at his home in Beijing. He teaches U.S.-China business relations.
The U.S. is interested in China becoming more of a consuming nation, not just a producing nation. And the message that the U.S. has had for China is that that will be good for China.
And that's the message, of course, that Gary Locke will be carrying over as ambassador.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner for us. Thanks, Gregory. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
For much of the financial crisis, we saw interest rates in the U.S. and in Europe at or just above zero. But rising inflation is putting pressure on the European central banks to raise rates, and the U.S. may not be far behind. Christopher Worth reports now higher rates come at the expense of homeowners.
It's an early morning start for Georgina Hockley and her partner Stuart, who are busy fixing up their small two-bedroom bungalow about an hour outside London.
This is the master bedroom, completely plastered from scratch.
Georgina gives me the tour while the couple's dog, Poppy, begs for attention. Georgina and Stuart bought this house a year and a half ago on an adjustable-rate mortgage. With interest rates so low, the payments have been affordable. But the Bank of England is expected to begin raising rates this year, and that means the couple's payments won't stay at the current bargain basement level.
We realize that it's at the lowest of the low. So, I mean, if it did go up by a couple of £100 or something, we'd just live with it and kind of take that risk, I suppose.
Plenty of others are taking that risk, too. More than 3 million adjustable-rate mortgages were signed in the UK in the past 5 years. Jane King of Ashridge Private Finance says some of those people have cause for concern.
There will be people who borrowed, say, 5 or 6 years ago who are going to struggle when rates do go up.
In fact, low interest rates may be the only thing keeping some people in their homes both here and in other European countries. Marie Duran is an economist at the forecasting consultancy Oxford Economics. She says adjustable rate mortgages are very common not only in the UK, but also in Spain and Ireland.
The problem is that the countries where you have these variable rates are the countries where the housing market is already most vulnerable.
That's certainly true in Ireland. Brian Lucy of Trinity College Dublin fears a rise in interest rates could force up mortgage payments and push homeowners into foreclosure.
You're looking at tens of thousands of people being forced into either having an unrepayable mortgage or losing their homes.
And he says that could spark another banking crisis, as banks, already beleaguered with bad debts, would be left holding even more empty homes on their books. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. And global stocks are higher right now. Oil, however, is down a little this morning from highs of about $107 a barrel to just above $105 right now in trading. But of course, oil prices keep rising sky high, and United Continental says it'll ground some not-so-popular flights and nix altogether new flights this year. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ tumbled 1.5%. The Dow was off 0.2%, 79 points to close at 12,090.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By Mass Mutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com.
and by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
After President Obama took office a few years back, he pressed a symbolic reset button in relations with Russia. Well, the move was supposed to help ease tensions from the end of the Bush administration. This week marks 2 years since the reset, and we've seen some major diplomatic deals come from it. But it was more about it was about more than just politics, I should say, as Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
The two countries may have reset their political relations, but business leaders say companies are the ones who are really powering up. PepsiCo, Exxon, and Boeing have all sealed billion-dollar deals in Russia in the past half year. Those deals would have been much harder, if not impossible, to pull off without better ties between the Kremlin and the White House. There have been no concrete changes, but Andrew Summers, the president of the American Chamber of Commerce in Russia, says the diplomatic mood change has changed the atmosphere for business.
Business feels more confident that they can make significant investments with less risk.
He says making money here makes jobs in the U.S.
American companies who have invested here have done extremely well in terms of profitability, and that in turn leads to a healthier state for the companies back home and allows them to hire more people.
Those hires could come in the U.S. high-tech sector. Biden will visit Russia's answer to Silicon Valley, where Microsoft is leading the way by investing millions. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, sharing space with a roommate is never easy, especially figuring out who pays how much. Well, battle no more. Harvard grad student and self-professed math geek Jonathan Bittner has come up with splittherent.org, an online calculator that to the cent figures out the fairest amount for all parties of the pad. Does your roommate have more closet space? She pays more. Is your window bigger? That's on your dime. You know what the website doesn't take into account? The who ate my peanut butter conundrum. Hey, we've got a link to that website, by the way, at our website, marketplace.org, where you can share your thoughts with us. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If a celebrity's following you on Twitter, don't get too excited.
Do those people really think that Lady Gaga and President Obama are reading their tweets?
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of 140-character relationships, the numbers from Wall Street, and all the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.